There was a moment when
a great discovery was made on this earth. A man called Jesus was seen through the eyes of another who saw something behind the flesh. Something not visible to human eyes or to normal human perception. And when he made the identification, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," a very beautiful thing happened for all the world. The man Jesus did not deny the identification. He did not say, "Peter, you are wrong." He congratulated Peter, and then he said, "And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven and earth. I will give you the keys to the kingdom." When he said that, you and I were informed that we have been given the key to the kingdom of heaven and earth. He was talking to you, to me, to every unborn child, to everyone who will ever walk this world. "I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I am the way." And always the world has sought a Jesus to give them the key. But he gave the key right there. "I will give you the key." That "I" is the very Christ that Peter recognized in Jesus. Its name is "I." I, the Christ in Jesus, I, the Christ in Peter, I, the Christ everywhere, am the key. I am the key. And when you find I will give you the key to the kingdom. "What is an absolute teaching?" Joel was once asked. He thought about this a moment. Then he looked at the student and he said, "You know, we really ought to teach this without any words. Because we can never convey truth with the mouth, with the mind, with the tongue." And he said, "That's why in Zen, which is part of their teaching, not with words, not with thoughts," he said, "when a student says to the teacher, 'I would like you to explain this or that, or what is the meaning of this,' he said, the teacher takes a cane and hits the student on the head. He says, 'That's an absolute teaching.'" That was Joel's sense of humor about the fact that the only absolute teaching is the word. The word from within, not from without. Even a human teacher's words are not the word. Ever can the word of God be spoken by a human being. And this word we find given to us in John right at the beginning. "In the beginning was God. And the Word was God." And no matter what religion you go to, you find there is always a Word. And always that Word is so phrased that it is incomprehensible to the human mind. Lao Tzu gave up ever finding a student who could understand him. Instead of the word, he had the way. There was a movement called Chan in China, which later became Zen. And Zen is the word. Moses gave us "I am." India gave us "Aum." The Hindus gave us "Tao." Always there is a word. Christianity gives us Christ. That's the word. But the word is not a word. It must be an experience. Now, if you were to look at Cruden's, this concordance, which is one of the most beautiful possessions you can ever own, you would be shocked to find that it says something very unusual about the way. It's like looking in a Fanny Farmer's recipe book, and she tells you to put in a cup of flour, and later you discover it's a misprint. It should have been 3 cups, and you just don't find errors like that in a Fanny Farmer book. And you wouldn't expect to find errors like that in Cruden's concordance. But yet, under the way, look. Jesus Christ is called away because it is by him alone that salvation and eternal life may be obtained. That's the only reason I have this book here, because Cruden says, by him alone, by Jesus Christ, salvation and eternal life may be obtained. And of course, it's just the opposite. And that's what's so strange, and that's so perplexing, that all these centuries have gone by before the light begins to glimmer out of the darkness of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, he said to his disciples. And if he walked the earth today, he would say, beware the leaven of the Pharisees of the 20th century. And they said, what is this leaven? Is it because we didn't bring any bread? No, he said, you know I mean the doctrine of the Pharisees. That is their leaven, their teaching. Now, you cannot learn that the key to the kingdom of God is I, Christ, in you, and have any other way. There is no other way. The only way is I. And when the Master says, I am the way, if you accept the authority of the Spirit of God, then there is no other way. Absolutely no other way on the face of the earth. It makes no difference what name you give to it, whether it's a religion or a philosophy or a science. It is not the way. Neither low here nor low there. Not in holy mountains, not in holy temples, not in holy edifices, not in holy buildings, not in holy churches. Nay, not in Jerusalem. Only in the kingdom of God within you. Identity. I. Christ within. That is the way. And the leaven of the Pharisees today, the teachings of the world today, are not teaching the way. The way that is called I. Now, whether you say Tao, Aum, I am, Moses, Son of God, Jesus Christ, it makes no difference what the word is that you use. Because the only word that means anything is your identity. Your identity is the word. And the reason those words are used is because they do not conjure up a picture in your mind. They are incomprehensible to the mind. They force you to go higher than the word itself and to find spiritual identity. And then you have the magic of I. The I that you are is so unique that there is no other I on the face of the earth. The I that you are is so unique that there is no opposition to it. It is the only Spirit of God on the earth. And so when Jesus says, "Thou seest me, thou seest the Father," if we do not pause to let the meaning become totally clear, we are really closing our eyes to the very way that we have been seeking. When Peter says, "Thou art the Christ," and Jesus says, "Thou seest me, thou seest the Father," he is saying, you're not seeing Jesus at all. You're seeing the Christ. Thou seest the Christ, thou seest the Father, because the Christ and the Father are one. But that isn't all he says. He says that this I, this Christ, is the way for all men. He says that whoever finds I in the midst of him will find he who is greater than all of the powers of the world. He tells us that I, in the midst of him, you, everyone, is God. And how could there be another way to God than the acceptance of God where you are? You can't accept God around the corner. That won't be any power. The only way you can be one with God is to accept God where you are. And so when Jesus accepted the identification as Christ, that wasn't something 2,000 years ago. He was accepting the identification of every man on the earth as Christ. How could Paul say, "I live yet not I, Christ liveth my life"? Jesus was dead. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was gone from the earth. How could Christ live Paul's life? If Christ was the identity of only one man, why would John the Baptist say, "Oh no, I'm not the Christ"? Why would they even ask him? "I'm not the Christ, but there is one coming who is greater than I. And he who is coming existed before I existed. He existed before Abraham." How could a man named Jesus have existed before Abraham? We know when he humanly appeared. Always the Christ before Abraham, and the Christ that will never leave you, and the Christ that moved through and as the man Paul, and the Christ that moved through Moses and Isaiah, and the Christ that moved through Buddha, the Christ that moved through Lao Tzu, the Christ that has moved through every seer and sage and prophet, the Christ that moves through every child that appears from a mother's womb. That invisible Christ was revealed that moment as the identity of mankind. And when he said, "Thou seest me, thou seest the Father," he was saying for you and me that whoever sees you is seeing the Father. He was announcing your identity. And then he was saying that I am the way, meaning your identity is the way. Your identity as the I of God is the way. The way out of the world of error. The way into the kingdom of heaven on earth. The way into peace and freedom and health and abundance and life without end. I am the way to these things. I am the way to the storehouse of grace. I am the way to omnipotence. I am the way to the only power there is, and I am never distant from you, I can never leave you. All of the power, all of the grace, all of the wisdom, all of the intelligence, freedom, and peace that is mine is in you now. And if you have not found the way to these, it is because there is still a personal sense of a you that is not I. The leaven of the Pharisees is still among us, in each of us, in every church on this globe, in every religion, in every science, in every walk of life, we find the leaven of the Pharisees. And you can beware of it best by recognizing what it is. Just think for a moment of religions today. Each one has a separate God. My God is better than your God. And if it comes to a showdown, my God will protect me against you, and your God will have no power. My God, I pray to safeguard me and sometime to overcome my enemies. My God, I pray to get rid of germs. This is the leaven of the Pharisees. It's exactly the same. It is the belief in two gods, two creators, two sources, that there is a source of good life and a source of bad life. It's the belief that there is good and there is evil. It is completely and totally spiritually barren, blind, and deaf, without any spiritual understanding. It does not recognize universal brotherhood, except as words. It does not recognize the Son of God in every man. It knows nothing of the Christ within. And so it is not the way. And because it is not the way, it is a thief and a robber, because it robs us of our identity, our birthright. It robs us of the qualities of God that are ever waiting in the midst of our recognition of self. I am the way. The world wants peace, but I am the way to peace. The world wants freedom, freedom from poverty, freedom from war, and I am the way. I will give you the key to the kingdom. Now, there's absolutely no reason why, when the eye of your being is the way, that you should waste a single second seeking another way. The infinite way, for that reason, is not a religion. It is the way of I. It is the way to self-realization through the awareness of your identity as the Son of God. And then the eye of your own being unfolds, bringing forth the fruits of the kingdom of God in your midst. And if these fruits are not visible to you, it is simply because we linger in the leaven of the Pharisees, the sense of a personal me. And instead of having God, we have a concept about God. You see, the Pharisees did not know God. The religions of the world do not know God. You cannot know God, and I cannot know God. That is the point. We cannot know God. Only the I of you can know God. Only the I of being can know God. And as long as you labor mightily with the intellect to know God, you will fail. No human mind can know God. Only the transcendental I. I am the door, and whoever tries to enter the kingdom through another door is a thief and a robber. I am the vine. I am the connecting link to the infinite Father. Whoever would enter to go to the Father, to see the face of the Father, must come through I. This has always been rejected by the world. Even today, As we hear the words, we're kind of like the Pharisees who watched miracles. They saw a man raise somebody from a tomb, change blindness into vision, deafness into hearing. They saw miracles by the yard, and they turned to him and said, "Do you have some signs that you are the Son of God?" While seeing, remaining unbelieving. And when we hear the word that is within us, our spiritual selfhood as I, when we hear the Father say, "Be still and know that I am God," when we hear that I give you the key to the kingdom, that I am the life, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the resurrection, I am every need fulfilled already. If we turn and go another way, then we are completely controlled by the world mind, which is still looking and praying to a man who said, "Don't pray to me. I can do nothing for you. I can't even do anything for myself." And still the world prays to the very one who said, "I am the way." The impersonal Christ is the way. The divine self of you is that impersonal Christ called I. One of the most beautiful things in the Bible to me is the first epistle of John. This man had been through the formative years with the Master. He had seen, he had heard, he had lingered, he had felt, he had experienced the presence of God. And then he wrote this letter. So simple as to walk right past the learned minds and intellects of the great religious leaders of the world. Every time I read it, I feel as if I can't even turn the page. It's so sweet, so true. It revealed, as Jesus did, I. I want to look at it for a moment with you. We can feel something of the depth of John in this letter. Knowing what has gone before helps. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. How different than a pulpit pounder giving us the letter of truth. What we have seen and touched with our own hands, and he's talking about the Spirit all the way, that inner discernment of the word, of the eye. And he's writing this to those he has taught that I, in the midst of you, am the way. They have learned this from him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. How many of us can say the life was manifested and we have seen it when we look at material forms? John is telling us about that invisible life, the Word made flesh, which he has seen with the inner eye. And because he had seen it and knew that it is indestructible, that it is infinite, that it is immortal, and that it is present where his own students stood, he too had seen the Christ of every one of his students. He was teaching them about their life here, which is eternal, about the perfection of their being, about the fact that you can never be separate from God, because that is the substance of your own being. Fear not, it is I. Everywhere. No matter where you're looking, that is I. I in the midst of you is I in the midst of John, Peter, and Mary. Everywhere I am. And every time you misidentify an individual by not knowing them as I, you malpractice them. Instead of recognizing instantly that only I can be there, that Christ is all there is, we, in the leaven of the Pharisees, see saints and sinners, white men and black men, rich men and poor men. We see Hebrews and Christians, and there aren't any. All there is I. Everywhere I am. And when Jesus said, yes, yes, only the Father within could have given you that information, he knew that I was the invisible name of the Roman Empire, the invisible name and identity of everyone on the face of the earth. And so he said, whatever you ask in my name will be given to you. And my name is I. How can you ask in the name of Jesus? Try it and see what happens. But when you ask in the name of I, which was his meaning, whatever you ask in my name, which is I, will be given to you. Do you want peace? When you ask in the name of I, that means you have accepted I to be your name. Do you want freedom? Do you want life eternal? Do you want health? Do you want abundance? Whatever you ask in my name will be given to you. Wherever you accept I to be your name, the name of your neighbor, the name of your enemy, the name of the person you're worried about, you are accepting that I is identity, as revealed to Peter, and earlier to his brother Andrew. Way back at the beginning, Andrew said, come Peter, come Simon, we have found the Christ. Way back in the first book of John, first chapter of John. And it took Peter quite a long time to come to the understanding that the Christ is not Jesus the man, but I, the invisible spirit, which underlies the man. And now John here, having lived through all of the glories, having seen the miracle of resurrection, talks about what he has seen and heard and touched, the living Christ, everywhere. So that there is no man or girl or boy or son or daughter or mother or father. There is the living Christ everywhere. If we but had that moment of Peter's vision, we would see the one Christ everywhere. And there would be no colors, no races, no nationalities. There would be no divisions, for there is none. There would be no leaven of the Pharisees. No, my God is greater than your God. Or God began when Moses received the word. Or God began with Buddha. Or God began with Allah. God existed before every revelator of truth ever appeared in form. And that God which existed before the revelators is I, the self of every individual. Before Abraham, before God was, the self of us was. Of course, John, teaching his group, was revealing that in the midst of them was a power greater than every power that walked this earth. And if you banish the years, John right here is saying to us, greater is he in the midst of you than he that walks the earth. I in the midst of you am the way. John says that we have overcome this world because we have yielded to identity. We have found the I in the midst of us that the world is seeking to find out there. And now we are living not in the world of effect, but in the world of cause. We have made a transposition from effect to cause by finding, accepting, and letting the Son of God in the midst of us take over our lives. I am come. The Son of God is come to give you the keys to the kingdom. The Son of God in the midst of you has the key to the kingdom. The kingdom is reality. The kingdom is the spiritual universe. The kingdom is every good thing of God. And as you wait patiently, dropping all false sense of a human self, accepting the immortal I as yourself, you find that the mortal sense of life has been fooling you by presenting to you that which never was created by a God. Every error lies only in the mortal sense of life. The immortal I of you is always perfect and maintaining its perfection. And there must be a deep soul-searching moment of truth when you can say to yourself, I recognize that the outer self of me is like the outer self of Jesus. It's not a God creation. It has no mission. It's an effect. There is no outer self, there's only the self. And it matters not how people see that outer self, because those who look at this outer self are not looking through the mind of God. What are they looking with? They're looking with a mind that cannot know God. They can only see the outer self of me. And I can't see the inner self of them any more than they can of me. We're looking with faculties that have no capacity. We're looking at each other with eyes that cannot see Christ. And so we're malpracticing each other all day long. We're identifying each other not as the I which is the way, but as the mortal self which was revealed as non-existent, as a veil of the senses, as the leaven of the Pharisees. We're not in the mystical I. And because we have not gone into our own inner sanctuary sufficiently to let ourselves be guided out of the mortal sense of self, that remnant of mortality lingering in us as concept makes it impossible for us to look out upon the perfection of being. Suppose you could reach a moment of absolute clarity. When you are without any form of desire, seeking nothing and needing nothing, wanting nothing, completely fulfilled in your consciousness, knowing yourself to be that I, which has no second self, which is not limited or finite, which is not confined in the physical form, which has no weight or density, no size or shape, but feeling the full freedom of the I of being. This I am. Suppose you could rest there, knowing that this infinitely free I is the life of the universe, and your life, and that whoever walks in a form is that infinite I, so that you're living not in the concepts of the mind, but in what might be called the transcendental, the one, the only, and it is I. When you are living there for a moment, you are the way. You're not following the way, you are the way. Now, if this I is God, and this I is you, and I and the Father are one, is it not worth your total effort to rest there, knowing that I realized is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, the full, complete grace of the Father, containing all things, that it is the substance of all that will later appear in this world as form, that it is perfect forever, it is eternal, it is without blemish, it is the one universal self. It is not Christ a form, it is not Christ a man, it is not Christ finite, it is Christ the impersonal infinite being, I am. When you can rest there, accepting this to be your identity, you will find that there is a meaning to fear not, it is I. Be not afraid, it is I. There can be no fear except in the belief that it is not I. When you rest without the need for worry, concern, or thought, or plan, accepting this I to be you, you are in the way. And you are given the key to the kingdom. And if you continue in my word, continue in identity as the infinite I, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But you must continue in I. You must continue in my word, the word that Jesus gave the world, that John related, that every major religion has discovered, the word that can never be spoken without losing it. Because even when you say I, that's not the word. When you say Christ, that's not the word. The word is your being. And that isn't something you say. You can say sun, but that doesn't make things warm. You can say sun, but that doesn't give us heat and energy. That's just a word. But the living of I, in I, the abiding in I, the letting of the I abide in you, the trust and confidence and assurance that I am your identity and can never be less, the willingness to face the world, to journey into the unknown. Because I is my name, and I is self-fulfilling in the divine image and likeness forever. The capacity to accept I is really the only way of Christ. There's no other Christian way of life than I. And every other way is a false door. And we discover that. Tragically, we make the discovery that every other way than I is a failure. For only I am power, only I am love, only I am perfection. I am the only way. I am the only self. But my way is the perfect way. Because I go unto the Father. There is a you then. And if we could see that you, we would see the Father. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. If we could see the eye of your being, we would see the Father. And if you could take off this coat that you're wearing, this coat of flesh, this coat of the mind, like the many-colored coat of Joseph, you would find another garment of white, the garment of transfiguration, a pure, immaculate light, which is the eye of your being. And you remember when Jesus was transfigured, it wasn't a little white light in the center of his form. He was diffused into the entire atmosphere because he was all. There were no boundaries. And the truth of the eye of Jesus is that it is the eye of you. The eye of you lived, is living as the life of every individual on the earth. That is why universal brotherhood is a forerunner of the new age. Because I, in the midst of all, am the only one here. You cannot have divisions and separations and hostility and live in truth at the same time. But I am your shining armor. Where I am, there is no hostility. Where I am, there is no war. Wherever I am accepted in consciousness, that is the beginning of peace. Now it's taken almost 2,000 years for the remark of Peter to dawn on human consciousness. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God, and you will be saying that in your consciousness about everyone you meet. Almost within two generations, children will be born free of disease, free of lack, free of death, because this generation is beginning to say, thou art the Christ, to the mother of every child, to the father of every child. Thou art the Christ, and I'm saying it quietly, secretly within my heart. Thou art the Christ, even though you're China. You can be Arab or Israel. Thou art the Christ. You can be a Black Panther, and thou art the Christ. It matters not who or where you appear. It's what you are. You can be nothing other than the Christ, because there is only one Creator. There is only one begotten Son, that is Christ. There is only one Father. And the belief that there are two gods, two sources, two creators, one making a perfect person and one making an imperfect person, is incorrect. The Pharisees of today still believe that God created physical beings, that God created the human mind, that God created the good and bad of this world and is responsible for it, and that the bad of this world is God's punishment for us because we're not living up to His commandments. They even go so far as to believe that God created the atom while it's exploding and putting people to death. I, in the midst of you, am the only identity on this earth. And whoever is not in I is dead. Whoever is not in I is asleep and must awaken. Whoever is not in I is divided, separated, apart from reality. But who is there who is not in I? No one. That's the appearance. The people of the world appear not to be in I, but where is the Peter among us who can say, Thou art the Christ? For that is the truth of all being. Everyone is in I. Everyone is I. And therefore, for those who are to walk with God, there must be an acceptance of I as the universal truth of every person on earth. And that doesn't matter what their condition may be at the moment, saint or sinner, healthy or unhealthy. The sinning, the unhealthiness, the problem is always the unawareness of I. How can you help that along unless you reverse that unawareness and stand in the awareness of I? I in the midst of you is I in the midst of that other person, in the midst of that other nation. I in the midst of Jesus walks through the tomb. I in the midst of you walks through the tomb. I in the midst of Jesus walks on the water. I in the midst of you walks on the water, even now. I in the midst of Jesus never had a disease. I in the midst of you never has a disease. I in the midst of Jesus was the power of God on earth. I in the midst of you is the power of God on earth. Everything that was true of Jesus in his reality is true of you and me in our reality here and now. And we're coming to the place where we can see the demand that is being made of us. Recognize that I am in the midst of this world everywhere. And be true to me. Be faithful to I, for I am the way.